Good morning, LifePoint Church. Hope you all are doing well, enjoying the morning so far. Thank you all for being here with us today. I want to kind of start things out a little bit different. All of you all know Daniel and Denise Henderson. If you don't, they're our children's and family pastors. So one of their kiddos, Ember, has a lot of medical things going on. She's had a full heart transplant, and currently she's having some problems. She's in the middle of a heart cath right now to see whether or not, what their next steps are and whether she's rejecting or not. So I just want to open up in a word of prayer specifically for her. It's our family. This is what we do. And so we're going to open up and pray for her since she's currently in a procedure right now, and we're going to ask God to do his thing. So if you'd join me in prayer. God, we come to you this morning thankful that we can come into your house, come into your presence, be with your people. God, thank you for the beautiful people that are here at LifePoint Church and call this place home, or those that are just checking things out and are here with us. God, we specifically ask this morning that you would be with Ember, that you would strengthen her body, strengthen her heart. God, we pray for the doctors that are performing some procedures and looking through her charts. God, that they would know the exact course of action that needs to be taken, God. With more faith, God, we just ask that you would heal her, that you would continue to strengthen her body, strengthen her heart, and may her body and her heart truly marry together. And God, we just pray for her. She's been through so much in her short little life. And we thank you for her sweet spirit, the joy that she brings, and that you would continue to lift her up, help her to continue to fight through these things, God. And we pray for healing and a strong, healthy heart. And Lord, just be with her at this time, Lord, and her doctors as well as Daniel and Denise. God, we love you. We thank you. We pray that you'd bless our time together as we break out and look at your word and study together so that we can learn and grow. And in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you all for joining me in that. So now we're going to go ahead and transition into week two of Like a Child. So kind of fitting to be praying for a child. We're talking about having faith like a child. And in that, if again, speaking of Ember, if you've ever interacted with her, her faith is so strong. She just has a great outlook and experience on everything. She's just so happy and optimistic. So that's that kind of that childlike wonder and faith. And we all need that. We need that in our lives just in general, but we need that in our faith walk as well. So this week, we're going to continue on with this series, and I believe that this is really important, again, because faith, like a child, is critical. It is so, so important. When I think of kids and how they view the world, it's just pure. It's simple. It's not complicated. It is what it is. And I think we need more of that. So in the series, what we're doing is we're looking at some of the attributes of God, and we're doing so from the perspective of a child, like how a child would look at these attributes as opposed to us as adults, and how we tend to at times overcomplicate things. And I think this is, again, important because of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10. And we find in Mark 10 that Jesus, he's just out doing his thing, and some of these parents bring their kids to see him, right? So they bring their children, and they want Jesus to pray over them, or they want Jesus to bless them, or just to be around them, because, I mean, who wouldn't want to be in the presence of Jesus? And so they wanted their children to experience that as well. And so they bring that, and then the disciples, they always tried to do the right thing. They think they were doing the right thing, but a lot of times they just didn't. And so when these parents are bringing their kids, they weren't about it. They were like, yo, do you realize that this is Jesus? This is the Son of God. He is way too important and way too busy to be spending time with your kid. He just is. And when Jesus heard this, Mark said he wrote that Jesus was angry. Like he got heated about this. And he's like, no, understand, let the little kids come to me. Let them come to me. Of course I'll spend time. Of course I'll pray with them. Of course they are important. And then he goes on to say something that's incredible, very profound, something that we all need to receive and add to our lives. And it's found in Mark 10, 15. And he says this. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Like a child. Childlike faith. Yes, we grow up, we grow old. Yes, we need to mature, right? Yes, we need to be responsible. Most children I know are not very responsible. We need to be responsible. Intelligence is a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with being intelligent and thinking through things and pondering. But when it comes down to it, we have to accept the kingdom of God like a child. Pure, simple faith. And it's a beautiful thing when we can do that. And so last week we kicked things off looking at what we would say is the goodness of God. But a child will look at it and say that my God is for me. Right? He's for me. And if you miss that, you can always go back onto our website and check out our podcast. It's there for you. Don't worry. But today we're going to be looking at the attribute of God where we're going to focus on the presence of God. The presence of God. If you're a theology buff or you've studied or been to Bible school or whatever it is or grew up in a Christian school, you've heard this term being coined as that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's here. He's there. He's all over the world. He's at everywhere at every given time. He's omnipresent. But I don't know too many kids that talk like that. My God is so omnipresent. It's just incredible. No, what a kid would say is, my God is with me. Because children personalize things. It's about them. If they're thinking that God is everywhere, well, that means he's with me. So they would see that and be very personal that my God is with me. And this is so important because I want you to understand, and I think you do know this, that presence really matters. The presence of other people in your life matters, especially to a kid. The presence of their parent or a trusted adult makes all the difference in the world. I mean, think about it. If you left a kid at home by themselves, they better be old enough or your CPS is coming for you. No, but if you leave even a child in the living room, you go upstairs, you go out in the garage or whatever, and they're sitting there, they're probably a little nervous because they're alone. And then as soon as the ice maker drops some ice, they freak out, right? Or the house creaks or something like that because there's no one there with them and they don't know what to do. But if that happens and you're sitting there right with them, they're good. They're chill. Just like this past week, we had a big thunderstorm and there was a tree in our neighborhood that got struck by lightning. And that clap of thunder shook our house. And when as soon as it happened, you know, Sawyer sat, he was sitting on the couch, you know, playing a video game or something. He sat straight up and was like, looked straight at me and Jen, like, okay, you're here? Okay, we're good. Are we all good? Everything fine? We're like, yeah, we're good. He's like, okay, cool. And then he relaxed. But I promise you, if he was at home by himself and that happened, he would be freaking out. Because presence really matters. And it matters to us as adults or teenagers as well. I mean, the presence of people in our lives really matters. And it's the same thing with God. Because God is with us. And he promises to be with us. So no matter what we face, we know we're good. Because he's with us. Not that he's just everywhere. He's present with us. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10, God says, so do not fear for what? For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm with you. You don't got to be afraid. I'm with you. Hebrews 13:5. God promises, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Beautiful promises that we read in Scripture. Comforting promises that we can hold on to. See, we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid because God is with us. His presence is there, and we can be comforted in that. Just like a parent being in the room with their child, and they're comforted. God is with us. He is with you, so you don't have to be afraid. But the problem is that many of us, even those who are Christ followers, many of us, we have this head knowledge of this. We'll rattle it off. Maybe, again, you even know the fancy terms that God is, you know, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You know it, but you don't really believe it in your heart. You don't really, it doesn't really manifest into your actions, into the way you live, into the way that you operate, because you're always fearful. You're always feeling like you're alone. You're always stressed out and running around, and you forget the fact that God is with you. You've never really received that. You don't put it into practice, but he is. He's with us. God said, you don't got nothing to worry about. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. But we don't operate like that. It's because we don't have faith like a child. So today I want to share four very simple things that we can do to actually internalize this. You see, God says that he is with us. He promises that. But the question is, are we with God? Right? Someone can be with you, but you're not really with them. For example, if Amelia, my daughter, if we're riding somewhere together and it's me and her, a lot of times on Sunday nights, I drive back, I lock up the church, she wants to ride with me. So we're together. I am physically in the car with her. I have her back. I will protect her, do anything to protect her. I'm there for her. But as soon as those AirPods go in those ears and she starts scrolling through Instagram, she is no longer with me. She's off somewhere on another planet. She's elsewhere. But physically, we're together. I'm with her. But in her world, she's not. And we do the same thing with God. He is with you. It's a promise. But are you doing the things and are you living in such a way that you're actually in tune to him and with him? See, this is the beautiful thing about how God has set this thing up for us. He doesn't make us do anything. He is going to be with us. He is going to hold up his end of the bargain. But what are we going to do with it? It's the question. Are we going to receive it? Are we going to reap the benefit of it? Or are we going to put in our AirPods and just kind of do our own thing? So what we're going to do is, again, is we're going to look at four very simple things that we can do. And again, when I say very simple, they're very simple. We've talked about this time and time again, but the longer that I'm a follower of Jesus and the longer that I've been a pastor, I know that I could probably preach on this every week because someone needs to hear it, someone needs to be encouraged with it, and many times I do as well. So we're gonna look at four things that we can do to make sure that we are in fact with God. And the first one, very simply put, is that we need to talk to him. Right? If you're in the presence of somebody, you need to acknowledge them and you need to talk to them. You need to spend time with them. And again, I don't necessarily say pray. You should. Biblical. Good thing. But I don't want to use that because we complicate prayer. We make prayer to be some intimidating, you know, thing that there's these lists and checks and we've got to do this and say all the right things. But prayer is talking to God. It's talking to him. But we complicate. I don't know how many. I mean, I grew up in the church. So I grew up going to Sunday school as a little kid. And Wednesday night prayer meetings, if you know anything about Wednesday night prayer meetings, like five or six people would just pray. I'd sleep. It was, you know, it's what it was. But you would hear these people talk in real life, and they just talk like you and I would have a conversation. And then all of a sudden they start praying. Their voice changes. Like, they use words that no one really understands. I don't even think they're just making them up to sound good, you know. And or they get real quiet and soft, and they sound like they're in pain, you know, and they're praying. It's like, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know how many times throughout my life, whether it be at seminary, at like a Bible study, or before class praying, or a group of people praying, or even in church staff meetings in the past, where when I was the youth pastor, like, we'd go around and we'd pray, and I'm not even engaged in the spirit of prayer. Because all I'm doing is like, okay, there's two more people before me. What am I going to say? I got to sound good, right? I don't want to say anything dumb. And I'm not even engaged in connecting with God. And prayer is, that's not what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God. Just recently, I was at a conference, and we had these breakout sessions, and another pastor that was there, close to retirement, awesome guy, and he stepped in and talked to, you know, some of the younger guys, and then he was like, can I pray for you guys? And he started off with, hey, Jesus. That's how he started his prayer. I'm like, dude, I can dig this guy. He started it off, hey, Jesus. It was awesome. It wasn't disrespectful. It was very honoring, but that's his relationship with God. It was just like friends. And that's what God wants. He wants us to speak with him. He wants us to connect with him. And if we're going to be in the presence with him, we've got to talk to him. This is how Jen and I have tried to raise our kids when it comes to prayer. We want them to talk to God as if he's just a close friend, because he is. We don't want it to be complicated. We don't want to put necessarily parameters and rules on it. We want them to honestly go to God. And sometimes it's the most beautiful thing ever. Sometimes it gets a little sketchy. But we got to roll with it. And we kind of course correct that. You know, we, before the first day of school a couple weeks ago, we got together, all four of us sitting on the couch before they went to bed. We're going to pray over the school year. So Jim prayed, I prayed. Amelia said a quick little prayer, and then it was Sawyer's turn. And he starts praying, and he may or may not have said, ask God to help his teachers not to suck. And Jen and I both kind of like, so, you know, I'm like, hey, sorry, are you allowed to even say that, like, at home? Well, no. Okay, so let's not, when we talk to God, say those kind of things. It's cool, man. I understand what you're saying, and I love the innocence of it, but let's curve that a little. Okay, cool. Yeah, so, But it was awesome because he was talking to God. And that's the way it needs to be. We need to talk to him. We need to take our cares to him. If he's present with us and we're going to be present with him, we just need to talk with him. And we don't need to overcomplicate that either. We just talk to him. The scripture tells us exactly what to pray for, what to talk to God about. And in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray, talk to God about everything. And everything is everything. Nothing is too small or too big for God. Your stats exam that's coming up, pray about it. Your job interview, pray about it. Can't find your keys? Pray about it. Pray about everything. I struggle with this sometimes because I'm like, I'm not going to pray about this. It's too trivial. Last November, we were on a cruise, and we got back up to the room after watching a show, and I realized my cell phone's gone. I had just bought it, new iPhone, and I was none too happy. So I'd go sit down on the balcony, try to woosaw, and Jen's like, just pray. I'm like, okay, whatever. God really cares about my cell phone. So I'm a mess. I'm angry. I'm mad. I know someone's just going to steal it and love it and not turn it in because no one's going to care about blah, 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 blah. I was self-loathing, self-pity, you know, spiraling. And so I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pray about it. So I prayed, and then I just sat there, and then it just hit me. Well, I got my Apple Watch, and when I get close, it'll show up on my on my watch. So I can go back, retrace my steps, and start looking and doing that. Within 5 minutes, I had my phone. Found it. And for me, I know that was only because I calmed myself and I spent time with God. I just talked to him. And he helped me clear my brain so that I could actually think. Because we need to pray about everything. It says, and don't worry about anything. It said, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. We've got to talk to God. Spend time with him. It doesn't have to be drawn out prayers. Just talk with him. Short little conversations throughout the day. Hey, God, give me wisdom on this. God, help me know what to say. God, help me with this presentation. God, help me not to act the fool when this dude just cut me off on the road. Little bitty snippets, little texts. Talk to God. The second thing a child would tell you to do if you want to really be with God who is with you is that you also have to listen to him, right? You've got to listen to what he has to say. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20 says, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Listen for his voice. And many of us are like, well, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know what the voice of God sounds like. Am I waiting to hear like Morgan Freeman to like boom his voice down and say something? Or how does that work? What does that look like? Again, it's something that we overcomplicate. Many times because we won't stop talking. We never give God the space to speak. And I'm probably the worst at this. Jen and I recently went, a couple weeks ago when Daniel preached, we went to Tennessee for a spiritual companion retreat. And it was really centered around hearing the voice of God. Silence and solitude. Two words that terrify me. Not good with it. But I was forced to do it. See, many times we can't hear the voice of God because we have 50 billion things going on around us, in our hands, running through our brains, talking through our mouths, listening to other things. We don't ever quiet down enough and slow down enough to hear the voice of God. Because he speaks. He does, all the time. But many times we don't know what his voice sounds like and we don't know what that looks like because we don't slow down. But if we're going to actually be with him, we've got to listen to him. We have to. And there's so many ways that he speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. Spend time in his word, listening to it, reading it. He will speak to you through that. He'll reveal things. Things will pop into your mind. You're like, as you're reading, you're like, oh, man, I needed to hear this. Oh, I can apply this here. That's God leading you in those things. God can speak to you through other people, through listening to other sermons or to a friend coming and correcting you or speaking life into you when you're down and lifting you up, speaking truth over you. He speaks through his people. He speaks to us through life circumstances. Maybe we think we should be going one way and doing one thing, and God's like, nope, this way. And he shuts a door or opens another. Through circumstances, he's speaking to us and leading us. And then if you are a follower of Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit living within you, there's that internal prompt that sometimes we can't explain. We just know. There's that internal prompt. You know what? I was thinking about this person. God just put this person on my mind. And yeah, I know I've been around church for a long time. I feel like sometimes that gets played out. God just put you on my heart today. But really, he does. I don't know how many times I've had people contact me and say, hey, I was thinking about you today. God just wanted me to send you a text or call you and encourage you. And man, I needed it in that moment. I don't know how many times that I've done that. I did that this week. God just randomly brought someone into my mind. Like I had a dream about someone that I haven't seen in years. And then the next day, I was talking with somebody else, and his name got brought up again. I'm like, all right, God, I got you. I'm hearing you. So I reached out and texted him. Just said, hey, just thinking about you, man. I love you. Miss you. Hope you're doing well. Started a little dialogue conversation. There's that prompting. He will lead us. But we have to be in tune, and we have to listen. We have to be present with him because he's present with us. He's with us. But to be present with him, we have to talk to him. We got to listen to him. The third thing that we need to do, and it's tough for many of us, is that we have to receive from him. We have to receive from him. Now, kids are pros at receiving from people. My kids are pros at receiving from me. If there's anything they do well, it's receiving. But see, that's natural for a kid because they rely on us, adults, for everything. They need us. They rely on us to provide food for them, to provide shelter for them, to keep them safe and to protect them. That's all they know to do is just receive. But as we become adults, we try to put everything on our shoulders and we walk around life like we can do it. We got this. And we're told that. We're told that put away childish things and we got to now be an adult. And so a lot of us take that and we run with it in such a way that we don't receive from anybody, which then makes it hard for us to receive from God. When he's trying to give you something, he's trying to provide something for you, and we're dodging it and deflecting and pushing away because we got this. A little proud, a little arrogant, but we've got to learn to receive. I think about how many people that I know that would do anything for anybody. If you called them up today and said, hey, I need this, this, and this, they're going to be at your door doing that. But so a lot of the times, those are the same people that will never ask you for anything. And many times, it's because they're not good at receiving. I'm one of those people. I am not good at asking for help. When someone wants to offer me something, I push it away. How many times does someone want to buy you dinner or buy you something, and our first response is, no, don't worry about that. No, you don't need to do that. Because we're terrible at receiving. We've got to learn to receive because God provides so many incredible things for us, but we don't receive it. He gives us courage when we're afraid, but we push it away. We try to walk on our own. He gives us strength when we're weak. He gives us rest when we're exhausted. And I know there are many of you out here that are exhausted. And you need to humble yourself and receive his rest. He gives you comfort when you're hurting. He's the God of all peace, all comfort. And it's sitting right there for you. Whatever you're going through, it's sitting there for you. Waiting. He wants to give it to you. He is giving it to you. All we have to do is receive it. It's the same thing with his salvation. It's a gift. Again, we went over and over in Galatians about how it's through grace we have been saved through faith. Nothing that we can do. It's a gift. We just have to receive. But many of us, we just can't receive it because we're not good at receiving anything. We want to earn it. We want to do it ourselves. But he's there for us. He gives to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and some of verse 4 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. That's a God I can get behind. But that right there is worthless and pointless if we don't receive it. It's pointless. We have to learn to receive. If we're going to be with God, we have to receive. Think about it. If your kids, you were in their presence, they didn't talk to you, when you're talking to them, you're going to be frustrated. I don't know how many times I said, hey, would you listen? Or if I start trying to provide for them, give them things, they're like, no, I don't want it. Don't want it. Don't want it. Don't want it. It's not going to be good. They're going to struggle. They may not, you know, they're not going to be healthy because they're not receiving the things that we're providing that they need. All those things are the same with God. The fourth and final thing that we need to receive, or that we need to do in order to be in his presence with him, is that we need to just simply enjoy his presence. Again, something that's an honor, that's a privilege, that's something that's incredible, yet we struggle to do. We need to enjoy his presence. Have you ever noticed that you have a lot more fun and enjoy doing the things that you love when you do it with people you love? I know there's a lot of people that are more introverted, or they just really like solitude and they like spending time by themselves. And I understand that. As I get older, I'm starting to understand that a little more. But the bigger picture, doing things that you love is so much better when it's with the people you love. I think about just a month or so back, I went to Orlando for a conference, and I went by myself because, you know, the kids were in school, they were wrapping up the school year, and Jim was still working, and I had a great time. It was a great, great conference, good breakout sessions, got to go out, eat a few different places, played golf one day, one morning, just spent some good time. It was great, but I couldn't help but think the whole time, like, man, I wish my kids were here with me. I wish my wife was here with me. Full experience and connection with God that you're doing it together, because he's with you and he has your back. We need to learn to constantly enjoy his presence. I love what David says in Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You'll fill me with joy in your presence. Always. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30, Solomon says, then I was constantly at his side. Not he was at my side, but I was at his side. He was with God. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence. When you truly understand and internalize that God is with you, personally, connected with you, right there, every step, every moment of every day, that he is with you, you're actually able to enjoy life more. It's hard to be incredibly negative and disgruntled and do all those things when you know that the creator of all things is with you. You begin to enjoy him more. You delight every single day, rejoicing always because you're in his presence. When you're talking with him, when you're listening to him, allowing him to guide you, and you're following his directions, when you're receiving from him all that he wants you to receive, all that you need to grow, to develop, to mature spiritually, to be more confident, to overcome your struggles, your temptations, whatever it is, and you're receiving those things, and then all that together, you're able to enjoy his presence. And in turn, you enjoy life more. This is what it means to be in the presence of God. That he is with you, as a kid would say. I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to miss the power of that and the beauty of that and how much God loves you. He could be a distant God. He could just say, good luck. But he's a personal God who loves you, who has your back and is with you. Don't pop in the ear pods and try to go in cruise control and do life your own way. I've done it many times. Never ends up really well. But when I'm centered in, when I'm connected, and when I'm focused on him, in his presence, speaking to him, listening, receiving, just enjoying it, it makes all the difference. Doesn't mean life's perfect. Doesn't mean life's always easy. But it's easier because you know that you have the one who's in control of all things right alongside you. It's a promise. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. At any moment when you start to feel alone and you're struggling with that and you get all in your head, feel like nobody cares, nobody's there, no one loves you, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He is with you. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and hold you up. I don't know about you, but so many times in my life, I'm fearful. I feel weak. I'm exhausted. I need to be lifted up. I need to be held up. And God promises, I got you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. I will always be there for you. I will comfort you. I will support you. I will encourage you. I will love you. I will direct you. I will never leave you. So if you're kind of been going through the motions, trying to check things off your list, really, really pray over this. Spend time with God. Talk to him about this. Because when you are truly connected to him and you are with him, I promise you things are going to change. The circumstances around might not change exactly, but how you navigate and operate through them will 100% most definitely change because he's with you. Let's pray. God, we're so, so thankful that you are with us. I think at times we hear that, times we take that for granted. Sometimes it just becomes words. But Lord, may we never take that for granted, that you're with us. And because of that fact, we have nothing to fear. Maybe you're here this morning as we continue in a spirit of prayer and you've never come into a relationship with God. For whatever reason, you've kind of kept him at arm's length, kind of pushed him away, kind of fought it off. But you know that there's something missing. You know there's a void. Something that you've been trying to fill with all these different things, but you just can't figure it out. If that's you, understand that missing piece is Jesus. He created us in such a way that we have this innate longing for him. And many times we harden our hearts and we block it off and we push it aside and we go a different direction. I'm telling you, he's the only thing that can fill that. His presence is the only thing that can bring healing. So if that's you this morning, consider Jesus. If you're ready to step over that line of faith and receive him, no, you don't understand it all, you don't have it all figured out, but you believe that he's the Son of God, you believe he is who he said he is, that he died and rose again for you, Just tell him that. Again, talk to God. There's not a magical prayer to say. There's not a certain thing you have to do. You don't have to come forward, kneel five times, and whatever. You just talk to him. Confess and believe. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. So you just confess and believe. Talk to God. And if that's where you're at, I'd love to talk to you more. Jen would be willing to talk to you. Any of our leadership team would be more than happy to talk to you through that process. Maybe you're here and you've never stepped over that line of faith and you're just not ready. That's okay. We love you. You're more than welcome here. We want you here. We want to connect with you. We want to do life with you. Keep checking out. Keep exploring. Keep searching. This is a safe place to search. Maybe you're here this morning, you are a Christ follower. You realize you've got this head knowledge that he's with you, but you don't really implement it in your life. You go through the motions, riding in the car, right beside God. You're not tuned in, not connected, like two separate worlds. Begin to connect with him. Begin to be with him because he is with you. Yeah, we went over four things. Maybe you just need to take one little step. That's cool. One little step forward. Maybe just talk to him throughout the day. Maybe just say, you know what? Just throughout my day, randomly, I'm just going to throw a one sentence, a little verbal, mental text to God. Do that. Whatever it is, but you begin to connect with him. Begin to actually do life with God. Because without that, it's pointless. So Jerry and the team are going to play. And Darren, you just spend time with him. Listen to his voice. Maybe you just need to sit there quietly. Clear your mind. Just receive from him. God, again, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're good, that you love us, that you want nothing but the best for us. Even when it doesn't feel that way, you do. So help us to connect with you. Help us to be in your presence as you're in ours. And we thank you for always being there. We thank you for never leaving us, even when we jet on you, even when we turn our backs, even when we screw up, even when we do all the stupid things that we do, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and you're always welcoming us back to your beautiful open arms. So God, during this time, we ask that you would just continue to speak, help us to listen, and help us then to act.